I started out to win this race, to serve the Lord and to look upon His face. When the way gets hard and the times get tough, I know there's one thing for sure I've got my mind made up. Well, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I may walk through a lonely valley, I may drink from a bitter cup. When the devil comes a knocking, showing me another way, I'll stand right square on my feet, I'll throw my head in the air, I'll look him straight in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Well, Job was a man who was tempted in every way. The devil took his family, he laid sick both night and day. Job's wife came to saying, curse your God, you've had enough. He said, you talk like a foolish woman, I've got my mind made up. Well, my foot's on the rock, and my mind's made up. I may walk through a lonely valley, I may drink a bitter cup. When the devil comes to knock, he's showing me another way. I'll stand right, spread on my feet, I'll throw my head in the air, I'll look him straight in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock, and my mind's made up. Well, my foot's on the rock, and my mind's made up. I may walk through a lonely valley, I may drink from a bitter cup. When the devil comes at me, showing me another way, I'll stand right, stand on my feet, I'll throw my head in the air, I'll look him straight in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock. I'll stand right, stand on my feet, I'll throw my head in the air, I'll look him straight in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock. I'll stand right, stand on my feet, I'll throw my head in the air, I'll look him and say, my foot's on the rock, and my mind's made up. Well, when the devil comes at me, showing me another way, I'll say, my foot's on the rock, and my mind's made
up. Praise the Lord. That was awesome, wasn't that? Start your morning off right. Let's pray. Lord, we're here again as a people, as a group. And I don't know everybody. I haven't even met everyone here. I have no idea what people are going through, God, how people are feeling. And I don't just mean suffering. Apathy, confusion. God, you have every type of person here today. Hopefully, a lot of them are joyful in you. We got a lot on the agenda today. Some of it is going to be singing and worship to you, God. We want to do what is pleasing in your sight. We want to praise you with our lips, Lord, but we don't want to just praise you with our lips. We want to praise you with our lives and give you worship and to acknowledge you in our lives, to give you the glory in everything we say and do. As I was reminded this morning, God, with a small class, remembering who we are in you because of Christ. I pray that even in these announcements, as we remember you in communion today, and sending your son and remembering the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross and all those people who are lost and still haven't heard what was done for them and of your great love them. But God, we compromise sometimes. Help us not to compromise. But today, would you help us to commit ourselves to you fully? In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Got my mind made up. I like that. I hope you really do. Starting off with our announcements today. Tonight, February 3rd, Youth Group Super Bowl Party. You see that? That should be in all bold. There we go. All right, let's calm down, that New England stuff. I don't want a church split here, okay? We're just going to leave politics out and football out, okay? Good. Look, somebody over there already salty, and it's not in the biblical way, right? They said, yeah, what does that mean? All right. So it's the Youth Bowl, the Super Bowl party, and where's that going to be at? Is that all right, Brendan and Shelby?
Here in the youth room.
Here at the youth room, okay. And Jim and Amanda, you all are having one also at your place? Just parties everywhere. Good. All right. Praise God. 2018 tithe statements, they're available, okay, if you haven't picked it up yet, or if it hasn't been sent to you. Excuse me, if you have not picked up your statement, it's been placed in the mail. Any questions, see Sister Cheryl Campbell. Next, church potluck, February 10th. In honor of Valentine's Day, bring your favorite casserole or dessert that you love. Okay? Don't bring some stuff you kind of like. Bring what you love. Salad, rolls, and beverages will be provided, okay? Youth group and parents, there's a note here. February 17th, plan on staying for a potluck lunch after the service. We just got potlucks all over the place, don't we? That's what I'm talking about. Fellowship, everybody. And get to know Brendan and Shelby Burkett, our new youth group volunteers. If you haven't met them, is that okay? You might have a lot of people come see you. If you haven't met them yet, I would encourage you to just encourage them and say, hey, but this is an official event to do that, to get to know them. So that's very cool. They are such an awesome, that's all caps, couple. And we want you to get a chance to hear their heart for teens and their vision for ministry. Plan on 1 hour. Also, all details for winter camp will be covered. That's pretty cool. So a really important meeting, and it'd be awesome for you to get to know them. Committees, finance, missions, education, and maintenance. In April, when the new fiscal year begins, we will once again look at our four committees and their current members. If you would like to be on a committee, continue to serve on a committee, or be removed from a committee you have served on this past year, please see a deacon or pastor, that'll be Pastor Thaddeus, to make them aware of your choice. Human Trafficking Awareness Speaker, February 25th. There's information in the back, okay? Church closing, we've been through that before. Take a look at that information. Bronson Common, scheduled for 2019, also on the back desk there in the Welcome Center. Young adult group, that's on Sundays. 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the home of Jim and Amanda Dieters. Do you have some information there? Okay, Wednesday night dinner. Macaroni and cheese with sausages. That sounds amazing. Very good. And sign up if you're attending that, please. Next LAC meeting is February 5th, what's today's date? That's this week, right? Okay. I just want to make sure we got it all to date here. All right. Today's the 3rd, so it's 2 days from now, right? And then men's basketball, 6:30. Men's prayer on Tuesdays, 8:30 a.m. Food pantry. These are some of the regular items, so take a look at that. And we always love for people to get involved and whatnot. All right, good. Fist pump. That's what I'm talking about. Somebody's excited about serving the Lord. All right. So the next item here I wanted to present to you would be small groups. I'm going to keep pushing it because it's awesome. I'm going to tell you right now, I made a guarantee last week. I'm not walking it back. I'm for real. Small groups is going to change your life, and it's already started changing my life, okay? Personal testimony time, amen. I'm going to get real with you guys, all right? Just because I'm the associate pastor, assistant pastor, whatever you want to call me, I'm not like any different than anybody else, okay? I don't know what your history is with churches and pastors in the past, but I hope you look at Pastor Thaddeus and myself and the deacons who are serving here as regular flawed people that need Jesus just as much as you do, and who are going to be held accountable in a much more strict way, James tells us, as we're teaching and all the rest of our teachers. There's a big responsibility with this, and so I'm for real when I say that it's changing my life. This, just because I love the Word of God, it's changing everything in my life right now. Man, I'm not sure if I'm articulating the right way. I'm just full of so much passion and desire for, and motivation, I guess, in terms of getting people to see and understand the importance of small groups. And if not the small groups that we've established, meeting with people in a small setting with Jesus Christ at the focus. Can I tell you that God's word is going to mess you up in a good way if you spend some time in it? Can I tell you God's word is going to change your life in a way you never thought possible if you start implementing it? And if you think you can't do it, you're right. You can't, but there's a secret I'd like to share with you. It's a great mystery of the New Testament, and it is God lives within you. And God is going to do this work in you, and he's going to do this work through you. Can I tell you, our community in Kalamazoo in general, in the United States in general, in the world, is in desperate need of salt in the way that we've been learning from Pastor Thaddeus in the Word of God. It's in great need, dire need, desperate need of light. You know, there might be some people here in this church that are in darkness. And I'm telling you, if you're looking at God's word and when you're hearing it spoken and read to you from Pastor Thaddeus, and you do not see it lining up with your life, you need help. You can't do it by yourself. So what I would like to share with you is just a quick story. I was, last Sunday, I got jacked up by Pastor Thaddeus' message. I don't know if you guys see me sitting here squirming in the front row sometimes, but I was just like, man, this is just really hitting home. I got stuff going on in my life. I won't go into all of it. But there are areas where I really want to submit myself to the Word of God, specifically in my family and evangelizing in my family, witnessing and boldly telling the truth. And we got over a chance right after Sunday. We left, and I was like, oh, man. And my wife, we were in the car, and we were like tuned up. We were like, you ready for this? We were going to go visit her family. And some of her families don't trust Christ. They are openly denying Jesus. Others are weak in their faith, and they're not sure how they could really do what the Bible says they should do. And they're kind of like, I know when you read the scriptures. And they're, oh, I don't pray enough. That's why I hardly pray at all. And yeah, God, I got my golden ticket to heaven, though. I'm good with that. I don't really need to know him. And what I want to help you understand is that's not cool, right? I didn't get saved to a place. I got saved into a relationship with a person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with this newfound passion and newfound motivation, we said, let's go. And we said, we know God makes some promises, bold promises, John 14, John 15, whichever you like. And Jesus says that if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. I'm like, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm not about to ask for some stuff to spend on my pleasures, Lord. I want your will to be done in my life, so we're going to ask you something right now. Would you give us wisdom and boldness to walk in that house and start speaking the truth in love? Would you help us to listen well and to live this out? We don't want to be shy anymore because this is life or death stuff. We got relatives that are about to go to hell forever, and it's really, really urgent. And I don't want to hide my light. I don't want to be some weak salt, right? I don't want to lose my saltiness. I want to be salty. So we walked in there, some salty folks, a salty family, and we prayed that, make us salty. So we walked in that house, and I'm going to tell you right now, without all the details, come ask me if you want to, it was the greatest time of fellowship I've ever had with a family member. I got a chance to talk with her brother-in-law, well, my brother-in-law now, thanks for married, right? Her family's my family. Right? I'm just like putting this distance between us right now. Okay. I mean, we had the most awesome fellowship as a family unit in general. There's a lot of hurt in our family, and God was actively creating healing right then and there. And we walked out, and we prayed with that whole family. We prayed with that whole family. We had everybody rounded up in a circle. I put my arms on everybody, and I prayed with that whole family. And we said together, with the strength that God provides, we are going to lead this family. We're going to lead it. There's nobody leading this family. I don't know if you come from a family that's just kind of wandering aimlessly. But we said, you know what? We're going to stop waiting. We're going to lead this family, and we're going to lead them straight to the Lord. And we're not going to do it in our own strength, but the strength that God gives. Can I tell you something? That God has equipped you uniquely. And if you don't know what it is, you better start asking him. And I'm telling you, it's right here in this book. It's right here. So when Thaddeus comes up here This is what I want y'all to do. I want you to get ready. Take some notes. I wish I could show you some of these bulletins. There's not enough room, Sister Cheryl. There's not enough room in this. We need to widen up the margins, okay? So I brought a notebook today. I'm not playing. Are you guys ready for God to change your life and to change the life of everybody around you because you're so salty? Are you ready to, people are just going to be blinded and they're going to be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I've been walking around looking like this because of the light that God's shining through you. They see themselves clearly. They say, oh man, I need to know Jesus. Or they just push you away because they can't handle it. They say, I want to believe the lie instead. You better get ready for the results of being salty. God walks us through it in what? Matthew 5, doesn't he? You ready for some persecution? So anyways, that's my salty testimony. Get ready to share this stuff with each other. Because if you start walking by this, you're going to have a story to tell. So when we do our praise and worship today, listen, I'm going to be, okay. But you don't have to be like that. I've been learning a lot about worship. Pastor Thaddeus, I've been talking, thank you. And if you're not comfortable with that, if you express yourself in just being quiet and just saying, that's okay. If you want to shout out, go ahead, shout out. If you want to lift your hands, great. If you want to hold it, that's all right. But I just want you to know, I want you to worship God today. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Your word. Thank you for calling me to this, God. I would not have it any other way. Thank you for calling Pastor Thaddeus. We wouldn't have it any other way. We want to do it your way, God. We're your children, and it's good to be called children. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus. And as we remember him today, as we remember you today, as we remember the Spirit you've put in us, our triune God, completely one. I'm still trying to figure it out, Lord. We want you to be worshiped. So help us to push everything out, the opinions that don't matter, but Lord, help us to put our focus on you and to do our job as kings and priests. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I encourage you, go and tell somebody for real. Are you being salty? Go ahead and say it, tell them. Are you being salty? And tell them Jesus loves you. And just talk, okay? Until somebody says stop talking, all right? Go ahead, greet your neighbor. Tell them Jesus loves you.
All right, if you could find your way back to your seat. Or as Carl said, could you be quiet? Good morning. I'm going to ask the deacons to come up here to distribute the Lord's table. And I got one verse I just want to share with you as we get our hearts prepared to remember the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. This morning as we take communion, we are remembering his sacrifice. So if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have anything to remember. First, you need to trust Christ so you can have that entering into the relationship that Carl was talking about. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that just pass the elements by. There are two cups. Make sure you get both cups. I did notice as we were filling them up, there was one cracker that's swimming. So one cup was in the wrong order. So hopefully there's not more of that. All right. But 1 Timothy 1:15 says this. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." That means everybody should accept this statement because this is true. This is right. "That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So here's my encouragement to you as you go to communion. Don't look at the person next to you and go, "I'm pretty good. Thank you, Lord, that I am good, not like the person next to me." Because that's wrong. Here's how we should approach communion this morning. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's me. Of whom I am chief. Forget about everybody else's sin. Mine's the worst. Because mine put Jesus on the cross. Mine caused him to have to bleed and suffer and die. His body was broken because of me. And as we go to communion, approach the Lord as the chief of sinners and understand that he is the chief forgiver. And you are saved because he chose to save you. Caleb, could you ask a blessing on the bread? Thank you. thought crossed my mind when I said, I am chief of sinners. It doesn't mean I'm the best sinner. Like, that means I'm the worst. So just in case I messed that up there. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, take, eat, this do in remembrance of me. Bo, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine? Amen. Jesus took the cup. He said, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now we're going to sing a couple great songs about our Lord and his sacrifice. The first song we're going to sing is Glorious Day. And as we sing that song, the Lord said, do this until I return. And the glorious day we're going to sing about in just a second is that day that he returns. And so I'm excited to sing the song. And then the second song is Your Great Name. And the name of Jesus is the greatest name because he is the sacrifice for our sins. So let's stand together and let's sing to our Savior.
Rising again, baby, he loved me. Are ready for the message you have for us this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would the ushers come forward, please? Lord God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can come together and worship you. Thank you for supplying all of our needs, and we pray, Lord, that you bless this church, and you have blessed it so richly. Lord, we thank you for our pastor, our assistant pastor. Lord, just be with the ones that can give and the ones that can't. Lord, we just want to glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. Got to pull something up on my phone here. She's not laughing at my glasses. So, this is a song that has to do with the idea of leaving a legacy. Have you ever been asked the question, do you want to be remembered? Or how do you want to be remembered after you're gone? I've asked myself that, and I've talked to my wife about that. Well, according to the world, I was just looking on the internet this morning, and a legacy is fundamental. This is answering the question, why is a legacy important? Legacy is fundamental to what is being human. Research shows that without a sense of working to create a legacy, adults lose meaning in their life. Being reminded of death is actually a good thing because death informs life. It gives you a perspective on what's important. Now, that sounds good, yeah, but God has a little bit of a different view of what the fundamental meaning of being human is. And I believe that it means recognizing and acknowledging the God that created us, worshiping him in our daily walk, and pointing others to his saving love by our example. Salt, being salt. A legacy is often seen as something that a person does in their life, which has lasting effect on others after they're gone. Now, this song is going to suggest or refer to the idea of, if we are Christians, the idea of leaving a legacy is not all that important. I'm not saying that leaving a legacy is bad. I'm just saying and asking you, you know, how do you want to be remembered? And Pastor used a quote from, I don't remember who said it. Maybe you remember who said it, but it used to be on the chicken coop sign. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Jim Vanderhorst put that on his chicken coop.
Thank you. I was riding in the car, composure, last week with my daughter. She's 15. The song was on the radio, or else I played it on my phone, and I said to her, I'm thinking of doing this song at church, or this is what I'm going to do at church. And she said, that sounds like you. And I didn't respond to her right away because I was so humbled and convicted by those kind words. Because I strive to see the man in the mirror as the chief of sinners, the way Paul exhorts us to see ourselves. So, Ella, thank you for those kind words.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. I don't have to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only Jesus. All the kingdoms built, all the trophies won, will crumble into dust when it's said and done. 'Cause all that really matters, did I live the truth with the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there was only one whose name will last forever? I don't have to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only remember. And I don't have to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only I don't care if they remember me, only Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. How do you follow all that this morning? Some of you are saying, you say, you're dismissed. We will dismiss the children to Children's Church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. What Gerard just sang, what communion is all about, all of our singing this morning, is all points to the same thing, and that's to our Savior Jesus, and to us not being the ones who are the focus. One day, Albert Einstein had to speak at an important science conference. And on the way there, he told his usual driver that looked and sounded just like him, that they were from the same hometown and everything. He said, "I'm sick of all these conferences. I always say the same things over and over." And the driver agreed, "You're right. As your driver, I have attended all of them, and even though I don't know anything about science, I could give the conference in your place. That's a great idea, said Einstein. Let's switch places then. So they switched clothes and messed the driver's hair up a little bit. And as they arrived, the driver went on stage as Einstein. And he started giving the usual speech, while the real Einstein, dressed as the car driver, wearing the hat and everything, sat in the background. But in the crowd, there was this one scientist who wanted to prove how smart he was to everyone. So he stood up and interrupted the lecture and asked a really difficult question that no one had ever been able to answer. The driver looked him dead in the eye and said, "Sir, your question is so easy that I'm going to have my driver answer it for me." Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Jesus said this, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." Think not that I am come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. Verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For verily I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray that you would teach us to be salty through understanding the truth of your word, the impact of your word, the importance of your word. And so, God, I just pray that you would take this time and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's a research group called Pew Research. They research churches. And they showed that 50% of all evangelicals, so when I say the word evangelical, that means that people that call themselves Christ followers who believe in Jesus as the way of their salvation. So they found that 56% of all people who call themselves Christ followers, they believe in Jesus for salvation, believe that there are many paths to heaven other than Jesus. In fact, among the evangelicals, 35% believe Islam can also get you to God. 33% believe that Hinduism can also get you to God. And 26% believe that atheism can get you to heaven. Now, isn't that astounding? We're talking 56% of people that call themselves Christ followers. In fact, there was a church who did a survey. And this church actually has trained over 2,000 other churches to follow its model. Okay, this church was named the most influential church in America 4 years running. So this is in 2008. Here's what they found when they did a survey of their congregation, and they didn't do visitors. These are people who attended regularly and called themselves Christ followers. So this doesn't include anyone that did not claim to be a Christ follower. 40%, 47% did not believe in salvation by grace. 57% did not believe in the authority of the Bible. 56% did not believe that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. 41% did not believe that God was personally involved in their daily life. And 71% did not believe that a Christian should live a sacrificial life, but instead should chase the material wants of this world. Now that's sad, isn't it? So here's what the pastor said about the results. He said, "Let me tell you something that the survey revealed. The people of our church simply do not have a biblical worldview. We don't know how to feed ourselves. We just don't have any idea. The majority of Christ followers of this church said that the number one barrier to growth is that it just isn't a high priority to them. It's just not really important." So here was the way that this church was going to combat that. This is their solution. "We're going to increase the length of our weekend services just a little bit. We're not going to stop teaching, but we're going to add to that experience of the risen Christ. We're going to program it, and it's going to take an extra 2 or 3 minutes in each church service." Let me just tell you something. That's not salty. That's not salty. Now I wonder if we were to ask these same questions to us, how would we come out? I hope it would be a different story. Because our goal isn't just to accumulate a lot of salt. Our goal is to be salty. So how do churches lose their saltiness? They get away from what I believe are the four keys that we see here in Matthew chapter 5. So the first key is that salty Christians know the truth. Salty Christians know the truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Okay? That's what Jesus said. I was reading an article about a pastor who said that, got quoted that verse, just quoted that verse, in a newspaper article. And they were talking about how terrible this man was because he said that Jesus is the only way. Salty Christians know the truth. Do you even know the truth? When it comes to some of the things that are taking place in our society today, do you even know the truth about what God expects about human behavior? Okay, I don't believe it's God's will for us to abort babies in the 40th month. Or 40th week, sorry. 40th month, that'd be woo. 40th week. I do not believe that's God's will. In fact, I know it's not. I don't believe that it's God's will for us not to know if we're male or female, or to question it, or to decide for ourselves. You know who decided if I was going to be male? God did in the womb. There are truths. Not because you and I pick and choose what those truths are. There are truths because God put it in His Word. It is wrong for you and I to go out and murder someone. You know why? It's truth. It's also wrong for you and I to hate somebody just because we don't like something about them, whether they're a big sinner or not. Because you know what? We're all big sinners, right? Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Salty Christians know the truth. Why do we preach what we do? Our Sunday school teachers, man, I tell you, if you're not in Sunday school, you're missing it. Because they are salty teachers. They're teaching you the truth of God's Word. And if you get into a Sunday school class, you will learn God's Word. Not just what man says, but they literally go verse by verse through Scripture. How awesome is that? Number two, salty Christians stand for the truth. See, if you don't know the truth, you can't stand for it. So when we know it, now we got to stand for it. When culture curses God, we must stand up to it. We don't have to be cruel, but we need to stand up. We cannot just sit and throw our hands in the air and say, "What can I do? Oh me, oh my." We got to stand up. Because we know the truth, we know what God's word says, so now we stand up for it. Number three, salty Christians speak up for the truth. There's a difference between just standing up and speaking up. There's a difference between walking out of a room because you don't agree with the conversation and standing up and saying, "No, I believe differently." But for some reason, our society believes Christians can be discriminated against, spoken evil of, and mocked. And remember the salty attitudes? What did Jesus say? "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall speak all manner of evil against you. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Right? So this isn't new in our culture. This has been culture ever since the truth was spoken by Jesus. We're told that by the world that we can't speak up for what we believe, that our faith forfeits our rights, and they're wrong. We have to speak up. We cannot silently let the world be the only voice that people hear. Because if the world is the only voice that people hear, then they will be lost. So last week was "Let Your Light Shine." This week, speak up. Do and say. Don't just do, don't just say. Do and say. Fourth key to being salty. Salty Christians transcend religiousness. Salty Christians transcend religiousness. I believe what I believe not because I want to believe it. I believe what I believe because God's word says it. Scriptures dictate our beliefs. And if they don't, then we need to change our beliefs. So there's a couple interesting verses I want to point your attention to. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. It says this: "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." See, there are people in this world that are trying to establish their own righteousness. They want their own right way of living. And probably there's a whole bunch of us in the room that are just like that. We want to establish our own righteousness, and we don't even know God's way of righteousness. Our righteousness, it needs to transcend religiousness. We need to worry less about being religious and put more effort into being righteous like Christ. There used to be a song about a basketball player. I want to be like Mike, right? Michael Jordan. Anybody remember that song? All right, a couple of you. It was a stupid song. It's all right. If you don't remember it, it's all right. We should not want to be like anything other than Jesus. Shouldn't want to leave, like Gerard said, our own legacy. You know, I've said this to Rachel several times. I hope nobody goes to my funeral. I really don't even want her to have a funeral. Instead, just have somebody get up and just preach Jesus and don't even talk about me. You know, get the 7 people that'll come to see, you know, "Oh, that guy died. Let's pay our respects to Rachel." Preach Jesus. Because what else matters? Well, we go about to fulfill our own righteousness, to establish our own righteousness. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, and be found in him. That him there is Jesus. Be found in Jesus. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let's concentrate less on being religious and more being righteous. That will make us salty. Let's go back to the text now, verses 17 and 18. Here's where these four keys come from. In verse 17, it says this in Matthew chapter 5. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So here are some salty truths. These are true. No matter what you say, these things are true. During the Chicago fire, you know, the one where the cow kicked the bucket over and started the fire? During the Chicago fire in the Grand Hotel, they went up to the upper floors where there was no sign of any fire and tried to convince the people on those upper floors to get out of their rooms and get out of the hotel. And they literally had this happen. Some people went out, looked out into the hallway and said, I don't smell any smoke. I don't see any flames. And they went back in their rooms. And in the Grand Hotel, they had over 50 people die of stupidity. Here was their stupidity. They were warned and they said, I don't believe it. Whether or not you think the scriptures are true, they are. Whether or not you think it should be taken literally, it's not up to you to decide. That was up to God. And here's what Jesus says. There will not be one dotting or crossing of the T that will pass away until all is fulfilled. There won't even be a missing dotting of an I until heaven and earth pass away. God has promised to keep his word, not just the spoken word, not just the ideas of scripture, but he has promised that when I pick up my Bible, I can be confident that every word, every letter has been kept by God, because he is faithful. And if this is what I believe for my eternity, and if he's telling me I have to bank on what it says in here, then I have to be able to trust it. And so Jesus says, yeah, you can trust it. Every crossing of the T, every dotting of the I, I've got it taken care of. Now, Jesus fulfilled the law. When he fulfilled the law, all that means, I say that like it's no big deal, that means that every righteous tenet of the law, he made it right real. He fulfilled it. He accomplished it. Nobody else has ever done that. He kept every part of the law perfectly. But now everything still hasn't been fulfilled because heaven and earth have not passed away. Even though, didn't some congresswoman say that it's going to die in 12 years? The earth is going to die in 12 years? Okay. Maybe she's got some insight on prophecy that I haven't heard yet, but heaven and earth haven't passed away yet, and it's not going to happen because of we don't take care of the earth. It's going to happen because God himself is going to judge the earth and punish it with his righteousness. Heaven and earth have not passed away yet. So Psalm 12, 6, and 7, these are really important verses. Okay, this is the Old Testament version of what Jesus just said in the New Testament. Psalm 12, 6, it says, for the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Now, sadly, some people have messed with the Hebrew here. Okay, the them there, if your Bible says us, that means you have a Bible that somebody messed with some words. Okay, it shouldn't say us. If you read the Hebrew, if you understand Hebrew at all, there's a pronoun there, and the pronoun is not us. The pronoun is them, okay? It's very clear. Now, when you have a pronoun, if you're an English person, like, you can totally agree with me here. If you're not, then I'm teaching you English this morning. When you have a pronoun, the pronoun needs to have an antecedent. Does that word sound familiar to anybody? No? You needed to go to a better school. All right, they should have taught you better. All right. When you have a pronoun, you need an antecedent. The antecedent is the word that the pronoun refers to. The words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them. The them goes back to the antecedent, the words of the Lord. The Lord will keep his words from this generation forever. That's a promise. So Jesus here in Matthew 5 gives us a little commentary on Psalm 12, 6, and 7. He takes it a little deeper. He doesn't just talk about the words. He talks about the breathing marks. In English, we cross T's and dot I's. In Hebrew, they have breathing marks that literally change the word if you don't have the breathing mark. You can have all the same letters and the same... They ordered it differently. They went right. We read left to right. They read right to left. And if the breathing mark was in a different place, it changed the entire word. And you know what Jesus said? Until all is fulfilled, until heaven and earth pass away, all those breathing marks, I will keep them for you. That's awesome. You know what we can know today? I can trust God's word. Say that out loud. The Bible can be trusted. Man, that's awesome. The Bible can be trusted. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. See, here's salty living in verse 19. Salty living is that you obey God's word. You obey it. If you don't obey it, you're not salty. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, we get real complicated with trying to explain how to be salty. Obey it, you're salty. Disobey, not salty. What does that mean? The salty living doesn't break even the least of the commands. Has anybody here ever read, like, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? There's a whole lot of stuff in there. Let's be honest, we don't all do it. And if I don't do and teach the least of these commands, I will be least in the kingdom of heaven. It's not a hopeless proposition that Jesus is teaching here. We do his commands by effort, not by accomplishment. Let me say that again. Let that sink in. We do his commands by effort, not by accomplishment. We teach his commands, not by remembering all of them all the time, but by teaching what he puts here. When I read those statistics at the beginning of the service, it's sad because obviously those people are not grabbing on to the truth of God's word. And it's very sad because it's not being taught correctly then. So salty living teaches God's word correctly. The morality of Scripture is clearly expressed. We teach what God says. Salty living teaches God's word correctly. That's letter C in your bulletin there. And third and lastly, everybody's favorite word when I preach, lastly, salty faith from verse 20. Salty faith. Here's salty faith. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter in the kingdom of heaven. So let me piggyback off of what Gerard said. The Pharisees and the scribes were all about a legacy left for themselves. That's all they cared about. And salty faith is not built on what everyone sees. The religiousness of the Pharisees was based on external expressions. And many people today focus on the outward appearance. That's all they worry about. Salty faith is built on the core of my being. This is how our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. In 1 Samuel 16:7, this is my life verse. I got saved listening to a message from this verse, and this is what I try to live by. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And you can deceive everybody, but the Lord sees your heart. Salty faith is faith that is authentic with God's word. God sees your heart. He knows your motives. He knows what you think. And in order for our righteousness to exceed that of the Pharisees, we need to take a long look at what is going on inside of us. What motivates us to be Christian? What motivates us to get up and live every day? In Psalm 139, verse 23, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Now, God already knows your heart. He doesn't have to like, "Ooh, I better look closely to see what's going on." He knows. Who is this getting to know? It's for God to reveal to the author, David, "Search me, O God, so I can know my heart. Try me so I can know if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me unto the way that is everlasting." When's the last time you asked God to search your heart? When's the last time that you even cared? A man went to his doctor to find out what was wrong with him, and the doctor said, "Your problem is you're too fat." The man looked at the doctor and said, "I would like to get a second opinion." The doctor said, "Okay, you're ugly too." Jeremiah 17:9 tells us this, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? So if I look to God and I say, "God, search my heart, try me, and see if there's any wicked way in me," you know what he's going to find? There's something there. The only people who went to God and said, "God, look at me, I'm wonderful," were the scribes and the Pharisees. They wanted everyone to see good works and say, "Wow, you must really love God." See, last week we looked at Matthew 5, verses 13 through 17, and it told us that we were to let our light shine before men so that they could see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. But the Pharisees, they let their good works be seen so people could look at them and go, "Wow, you must love God." Do you see the difference? They were light shining on their own. They were not reflecting the light of Jesus. They prayed in public. They memorized Genesis through Deuteronomy. Has anybody here done that? Boy, if you had, I'd be like, "Whoa." They memorized Genesis through Deuteronomy. They were seen by everybody as religious because they even wore scripture on their clothes. If they had cars, they would have had a fish on their bumper sticker. Jesus followed through. Last week's message, this week's message is all part of one message Jesus preached. "Let your light so shine before men so they could see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, let me just tell you something. Not one jot or one tittle will pass from the law till everything is fulfilled. I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Now, let your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Because they're a bunch of religious people who don't have my righteousness. And so we need to allow for our righteousness to exceed that of the Pharisees. I'm not as holy as a lot of those Pharisees were. I don't walk around and suck my cheeks and go, "Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, my stomach hurts." The Pharisees did that a lot. The Pharisees went around and they prayed and they'd say, "God, I thank you that I am not like that sinner." And I think that we, without knowing it, are just like those Pharisees. And our righteousness is dictated to us by our religiousness. And Jesus says that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Your righteousness is not something that you earn, that you build, that you make. Your righteousness is something that Jesus Christ gives to you. And as you live in obedience to him, you will act more and more righteous. But it's not about trying to be religious. And so what we need to do as we close out the service is, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me." I was going to bring in the spotlight, and I thought, nah, this might be too much. And I was just going to turn off all the lights and just shine it on you. That'd be a little uncomfortable, wouldn't it? But that's what needs to happen internally in our hearts every single time we go to God's Word. And unless my righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, I've got issues. And unless yours exceeds that of the Pharisees, you've got issues. And today, Jesus Christ wants to set us all free from this. He wants to say, "I'm putting my righteousness on you." And when he puts his righteousness on you, you're righteous. You're what he wants. Do you trust God's word? Do you want to stand up for it? You want to speak up for it, then let your righteousness be the righteousness of Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Lord, if there's anyone in here right now who has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe they've been trying to be righteous or be religious, and it's just not working out for them. And Lord, it won't, because we need your righteousness on us. Pray that this morning, that any who have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that this morning they would just surrender to you. And as we sing this last song, Lord, that they would just come up and shake my hand and say, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. And Lord, you want to save them. You died for them. Lord, I pray for the Christian. Maybe they've just had the wrong focus. Been all worried about the outward and haven't really kept up with the inward. Pray, Lord, that we would fall before you and make our lives right. As we're about ready to sing, Lord, here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Let's stand together as we sing this last song. If you've never trusted Christ, I'm going to be standing here at the front. I would love to talk to you about trusting Jesus as your Savior, or have someone else that's here talk to you about that. Don't leave today without knowing you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if God has spoken to your heart, the altar's open. Come and just kneel before him and do business with your God. Let's sing this song as a testimony to him.
Here's my heart.
Lord, I thank you that you will speak what is true to us when we say, search my heart and try me. And I thank you, Lord, that you are good, that we can find every answer, every solution, every help is in you. Victory is only found in you. And so, God, I pray that we will boldly enter the world around us, that we would know the truth, that we would stand up for the truth, that we would speak up for the truth, and that our righteousness would exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Be salty.